Our God is with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I myself am the living bread come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, they will live forever. The bread I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The temple authorities began to argue with one another, saying, how can this one give us his flesh to eat? Jesus replied, I tell you solemnly, if you do not eat the flesh and drink the blood of the chosen one, you will not have life within you. Everyone who does eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Everyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I live in them. Just as Abba God has life in me, and I have life because of Abba God, so those who feed on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not the kind of bread your ancestors ate. Whoever eats this kind of bread will be immortal. The good news. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Food is love. God is love. Therefore, God is food. That's my husband's Eucharistic theology, boiled down to its basics. Now, Bob makes a terrific dessert called Kentucky prune cake. A couple of you will appreciate this, being from Kentucky. He says he makes this with love. Sounds sappy, but it's true. It's rich and moist and sweet without being too sweet. In addition to prunes, it's made with buttermilk and a variety of spices, cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, and cloves. And a full cup of black walnuts. Not regular walnuts, those won't do. They have to be the often hard to find black ones with their intense flavor. It has a kind of glazed topping with more buttermilk and maple syrup along with other ingredients. Oh, it's heaven. Does anybody need an insulin tablet or something? I find I really want to take my time eating a piece of this holy concoction. Each bite must be savored. Food is love, indeed. It's Corpus Christi Sunday, and we think of God as food. Our gospel's author reflects on the living bread come down from heaven, the bread that enables those who eat it to live forever. It's manna like no other. It's the Christ, the cosmic Christ, the anointed one that I encounter when I make Eucharist with all of you. Celebrating the Christ's Eucharistic presence touches the heart. That's why we do it every Sunday. In this meal, we experience the God who is love. That's why Eucharistic centered is on our banner that we walked through the streets in our Pride Parade 8 days ago. That's why it's in bold letters on our website, telling the world that we are in an intentional Eucharistic community. And I savor that holy, delicious presence the way I enjoy Kentucky prune cake. I just enter into the mystery of pleasure. Pleasure, what Matthew Fox says, is the best biblical synonym we have for blessing. To know pleasure is to know blessing. To appreciate the pleasure of Bob's cake, I keep it simple. I don't try to become a food chemist, pondering the reasons for its appeal, analyzing its physical properties and trying to enrich my understanding of how my taste buds work and how my sense of smell contributes to the experience. I don't get lost in the weeds of food science. I just enjoy. For me, it's the same when I meet the Christ in this Eucharistic community. When I consume the bread and wine that we consecrate together, I don't lose myself in concepts and ideas, doctrines and dogma. Instead, I just let go and surrender myself to mystery, to love, to blessing, to pleasure. Mystery is meant to be enjoyed, not figured out. Still, keeping it simple is not my primary instinct. It seems I have to complicate Eucharist somehow. As with every other mystery, one can't help celebrating it in poetry and music and dance and artistic images. We use these tools to try to explain why it blesses us so deeply, knowing that none of this can ever answer that completely. It is poetry that we get in our gospel reading, in which the author channels Jesus. Those who feed on my flesh and drink my blood remain in me and I in them. Just as Abba God, who has life, sent me, and I have life because of Abba God, so the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. That's an attempt to explain the unexplainable. The author uses shocking, graphic imagery to convey the power of the experience of Eucharist, to tell us that meeting the love of Christ in this way is amazingly life-giving and as real as flesh and blood, as real can get. I try to keep it simple, so I turn to music to capture the wonder of this sacrament. One of my favorite communion hymns is Now in This Banquet by Marty Hagen. The melody is simple and sweet and lilting, and it conveys a message about divine love, affirming that here shall all hungers be fed. All hungers. It tells me that the Eucharistic Christ is not just for my hungers, not just some private and personal reception of the blessed bread and wine. This meal is far from private. It is a universal banquet of divine love at which all are welcome, where we all open our eyes to the glory of God. And we are moved to be what we eat, the body of Christ, hope for the hopeless, light for the blind, as the hymn proclaims. In addition to the poet and mystic who wrote today's gospel passage, in addition to the composers of our music, we turn to other visionaries to celebrate the wonder of this banquet. Mystics are so good at keeping it simple, at cutting through the crap of confusing concepts, such as real presence, as if there were such a thing as an unreal presence, or transubstantiation, or some kind of atoning sacrifice, what we used to call the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Getting stuck in all that theology feeds the false notion that I can think my way to grace. What a silly idea. Don't overthink this. The best sacramental moments go way beyond thought and words. One of Richard Rohr's daily meditations, in one of them, he quoted the late Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. This is a man who saw Jesus and the Buddha as brothers, and who called Christ the Buddha of the West. He noted how in our simple communion ritual, The consecrated bread and wine can move us beyond the concepts, the dry theological ideas we routinely attach to them. He wrote, "The bread that Jesus handed to you, to us, is real bread. And if you can eat real bread, you have real life. But we are not able to eat real bread. We only try to eat the word bread or the notion of bread. Even when we are celebrating the Eucharist, we are still eating notions and ideas. Take, my friends, this is my flesh, this is my blood. Can there be any more drastic language in order to wake you up? What could Jesus have said that is better than that? You have been eating ideas and notions, and I want you to eat real bread so that you become alive. If you come back to the present moment, fully alive, you will realize this is real bread. This piece of bread is the body of the whole cosmos." He wrote further that if Christ is the body of God, which he is, then the bread he offers is also the body of the cosmos. Look deeply and you will notice the sunshine in the bread, the blue sky in the bread, the cloud and the great earth in the bread. The whole cosmos has come together in order to bring you this piece of bread. You eat it in such a way that you become alive, truly alive. Eat in such a way that the Holy Spirit becomes an energy within you, and then the piece of bread that Jesus gives to you will stop being an idea, a notion. Wow. Richard Rohr agrees. He wrote about the need to move beyond notions and ideas and into the wonder of divine love, the wonder of that bread, that cosmic Christ that can make you more truly alive. That's keeping it simple. He wrote, "When Jesus spoke the words, 'This is my body,' I believe he was speaking not just about the bread right in front of him, but about the whole universe. The Eucharist is an encounter of the heart. In the Eucharist, we move beyond mere words or rational thought and go to that place where we don't talk about the mystery anymore. We begin to chew on it." Jesus did not say, "Think about this," or "stare at this," or even "worship this." Instead, he said, "Eat this." In our very short second reading today, Paul says that the Eucharist makes all of us, many though we are, one in the one Christ. Eating and drinking at this sacred meal is a celebration of a universal love, a universal belonging in Christ. It compels us to move that oneness beyond these walls, to move it beyond this local ritual to a starving world, to realize that we are what we eat. And if we eat the body of Christ, then we are the body of Christ for everyone. I think of a famous observation by St. Teresa of Avila, who is depicted in a beautiful banner on my left made by Kathy. Teresa wrote, "Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." To be Christ's body now on earth, to let Eucharist be more than just a ritual, I have to keep it simple. I know that I started these remarks trying to do just that with my food as love thoughts, but that was just the start of my theologizing. I couldn't keep it to myself, couldn't help myself. But if I want to really partake in this meal and avoid just eating notions and ideas, as Thich Nhat Hanh warned me, then I have to just eat and surrender to the mystery of love. Then, like those two disciples on the way to Emmaus, I can have my eyes opened and I can recognize the Christ in the breaking of the bread. That's when Eucharist is most powerful. Finally, I recall a little home Eucharist I had with my dad. It was just the two of us, and it took place shortly after I was ordained a priest, and about a year before he died. He had muscular dystrophy and was physically unable to attend a Mass anywhere. So I brought Mass to him. He had become a Catholic roughly 15 years earlier, so he was largely free of the magical thinking about sacraments that we cradle Catholics are sometimes prone to. We were just a father and a son, keeping it simple and moving from magic to mystery and receiving the love of Christ, the living bread come down from heaven. Just two guys enjoying this prayerful way to celebrate mutual respect and universal love. I'll never forget it. May every Eucharist be so sweet. Your thoughts?